Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We're glad that you've joined us today, and we hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you and that you will take your Bible and follow along as we go through the Scriptures. Maybe you could take a pencil and piece of paper and jot the Scriptures down as we go through them. Also, at the end of the broadcast, we'll be giving you information how that you can contact us if you would like more information, or if you'd like to write us and tell us what you think about the program. If you have questions, we would love to hear from you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, a verse that we've been using as our starting point in each lesson, the Apostle Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In rightly dividing the word of truth, I believe, is the key to understanding your Bible. If you look at the chart that I have here on the board, we've outlined the books of the Bible, and they're laid out on the chart just like they are aligned in your Bible. And the first four, obviously, are the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those books, we find that the doctrine has to do with the nation Israel. We see there there's the Gospel of the Kingdom. That Gospel is committed to the 12. It's sent to the nation Israel. And we find that in the end of there, those books, Christ is crucified. And in the early part of Acts, the ministry is carried out by the 12 that Christ taught them to carry out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in Acts chapter 9, we find that the Apostle Paul is saved. Paul says that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He said that he was given the gospel of the grace of God. He said that he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And so Paul wrote 13 books, Romans through Philemon. In those books, we find the gospel of the grace of God that was committed to Paul. We find that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We find in those books the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, and the dispensation of the grace of God. That would represent what is called but now in the Bible. And then there's the book of Hebrews through Revelation. Those books represent the period of time that would be that which is to come. The doctrine in Hebrews through Revelation matches up very well with the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it has to do with the tribulation period, the millennial reign, the coming of Christ. Again, the gospel of the kingdom. Now today I want to talk to you about something in particular that there seems to be a lot of controversy about and a lot of question about. Most people in the fundamental realm today preach and teach that the church started in Acts chapter 2. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. It's pretty easy to see and understand by reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that there is a difference in the gospel, for example. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. Paul calls his gospel the gospel of the grace of God. But most people teach today that in Acts chapter 2, when the apostles received the baptism of the Spirit, that the church, the body of Christ, started there. Well, I want you to notice some scriptural facts today about that church in Acts chapter 2. And I want you to see that in the Scriptures, it becomes readily clear, if you believe the Bible means exactly what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it, that the church, the body of Christ, did not start in Acts chapter 2, although there is a church there. Now, I want you to notice just some very simple scriptural facts. Number one, a church is not started in Acts 2. There is already a church in existence. For example, in Acts 2:47, the Bible says, in reference to those in that have been saved, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, the word church is used in the Bible several times, and it simply means a called out or a designated group of people. Generally, it relates to people that are God's people. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, Jesus says there, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church." Now, I read those verses of Scripture to simply point out to you that there is a church in existence. Christ told Peter, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." The church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 is a Jewish church. Everything about that assembly is Jewish. It was begun at Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish feast day. If you go back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 23, you'll find that there were many feast days there. There was the presentation of the two loaves. There was the day of Pentecost. There was all kind of celebrations associated with that. But it was all associated with the nation Israel. Everything about Pentecost was Jewish. And that's the day that people say the church began. Well, a new church did not begin. A church was already there. It was the church that people were added to, and it was the church. In other words, it was simply a group of believers there at Jerusalem, started back in the book of Matthew, and this church was a group of people that were saved based upon the gospel of the kingdom. That is, repentance, water baptism, and so forth. Another thing, this church that we find in Acts chapter 2 is not something new. It's not a new church. Now, you're going to see that the church that Paul begins when he is saved, or that Christ begins with Paul, rather, is something new. It's something altogether different than you find previous to the Apostle Paul. But this church at Jerusalem is not a new church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, Peter, in preaching, he says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." In other words, he said, in the last days, saith God, I'll do this. As far as Peter and James and John and the other disciples were concerned, these were the last days for the nation Israel. We know that because in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So we see, first of all, that everything about Pentecost was Jewish. It was a Jewish feast day. It was the last days for Israel, not something new, not the birth of the church. Also, we see that Acts chapter 2 was a fulfillment of prophecy, where I just read there. He said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Down in verse 24, he said, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death." Verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him." In other words, everything that Peter is preaching here is in relation to the nation Israel, and it can all be found in prophecy. As a matter of fact, over in Acts chapter 3, verse 18, he said, "But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled." Everything in Acts 2, 3, the beginning there of this of the last days for the nation Israel, what they considered the last days, all of this was in prophecy. He said it was showed by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer. He is so fulfilled. He said, in light of that, repent and be converted. But you know something? What Paul had, the doctrine Paul had for the church, was not according to prophecy. He said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Notice now, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Listen. You cannot find in prophecy that there was going to be a time when God would save Jew and Gentile in one body by the gospel. Now, there was in prophecy the fact that God would save Jew and Gentile. But there was never in prophecy that God would save them in one body by the gospel. That is, by the good news that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and raised again the third day. So, the church in Acts 2 was a fulfillment of prophecy. The church, the body of Christ that Paul is a part of, was a mystery. He says so in Ephesians 3, as well as Colossians chapter 1, Romans 16. He said the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, in Acts chapter 2, in verse 22, we see that Peter addressed the nation Israel. He said there in verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." And he goes on there and talks about Christ's death and burial and resurrection, proving him to be the Messiah. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." In Acts chapter 3, verse 12, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" All the way down through verse 26 here in Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching to the men of Israel. He says in verse 25, "You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers." It is all associated with the nation Israel, folks. It astounds me that people will go back here and try to make this the church, the body of Christ, when the church, the body of Christ, was made up of people that were neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, male or female. In other words, in the body of Christ, God sees us as all one in one. Well, Peter sure didn't see us that way, or see these people that way. He recognized that it was to the nation Israel. As a matter of fact, Peter was making an offer to the kingdom there, based upon the gospel of the kingdom that had been committed unto him. You will not find that offer made by Paul. Paul is preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the reason that Peter and James and John were making this offer of the kingdom in Acts 1 through about 8 and over in 10. And by the way, after that, you find, after Paul's salvation, you only find one or two mentions of Peter again in the whole book of Acts. And isn't that amazing? You would think that people would see that maybe God had a purpose in all that, and he did. God saves Paul in Acts chapter 9. He brings in the gospel of the grace of God. The program has changed. And today we are living in what is called a parenthetical program. That is, the dispensation of the grace of God. And when the church leaves here, God will resume his program with the nation Israel, and they will be saved. Consider 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 10, Peter says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." There is the sufferings of Christ and then the glory. And so Peter recognized that, and that's why Peter was making this offer to the nation Israel. "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You see, Israel was not cast away at Pentecost. Israel, Peter was seeking to for Israel to be saved at Pentecost. In this church there at Pentecost, or this church in Acts chapter 2, as many as were saved were added to that church, and they were Israelites. He was to start with a Jew first. He was to start at Jerusalem, and then go to Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. And you see, during that ministry, Peter was preaching exactly what Jesus Christ had taught him to preach. What was that? It was the gospel of the kingdom. It was the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you know, as you look through Acts chapter 2, you see several things that people today that say the church started there don't practice. Particularly those today who say that salvation is by grace through faith. They say that the signs and wonders have gone away. Well, I want you to think about Acts chapter 2 and the doctrine that is taught there. Number one, in Acts 2:38, salvation is by repentance and water baptism. Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, see, there are multitudes of people today that start the church in Acts chapter 2, but they don't preach that gospel. You know what gospel they preach? They preach the gospel Paul preached, that Christ died for our sins. For by grace are you saved. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. Well, why would you start the church in Acts chapter 2 and not preach the gospel of Acts chapter 2? Then he goes on down there and he says in verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." There are those today that say the signs and wonders are gone. No longer are the tongues in effect. And yet they say the church started in Acts chapter 2. And then in verse 44 he says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common." Isn't it interesting today that people will take just the verses of Scripture out of Acts 2 that they want to use to base their doctrine on, but they won't follow all of them. He said, "All that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need." Those of you that are listening to this message that have been convinced that the church started in Acts chapter 2, and maybe you even believe in water baptism for the remission of sins, but you don't believe in the sign gifts or that kind of thing, how is it that you can go through a chapter in the Bible and simply pick out the verses that you want to claim and leave the rest alone? You need to consider that. You need to consider that Acts chapter 2 is, number one, written to the nation Israel. Number two, salvation is by water baptism for the remission of sins. Number three, it is those people are added to a church there that's already in existence. And number four, those that were added to that church sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, those are all things that are associated with Israel and with the church at Jerusalem, and none of those things are associated with the church, the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, when you begin to compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll see that the Apostle Paul teaches directly contrary to the doctrine that is taught in Acts chapter 2. Why? Because Paul was given the revelation of the mystery. Paul was given the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Paul was given a new gospel. Paul recognized that the nation Israel was no longer God's chosen people. In Romans chapter 11, you see, Peter is preaching to get Israel saved. Paul is preaching with the understanding that Israel as a nation is not going to be saved. In Romans chapter 11, in verse 15, or verse 13, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Well, Peter sure didn't believe that the casting away of them was going to be the reconciling of the world. Peter believed that the salvation of them was going to be the reconciling of the world. That's why he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And Peter believed that had Israel been saved, then they would go out as a kingdom of priests and evangelize the world, and they would carry out the Great Commission. Paul understood, because of the revelation given to him, that that was not going to happen. As a matter of fact, Paul says over in verse 32, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Who is the all? The Jew and the Gentile. Paul realizes and recognizes that Israel as a nation is not going to be saved at this time. But he realizes there is going to come a time when all Israel shall be saved. And so he says up in verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now, let me make this just as simple as I can, because I realize we've read a lot of scriptures here. But I hope that you will take time to read Acts chapter 1 and 2 and 3 in particular. And you will consider what's been said here, that in Acts chapter 2, a new church did not start. It was a continuation of a church that was already in existence. In Acts chapter 2, it was not something new. They considered it the last days for the nation Israel. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel preached was the gospel of the kingdom. Compare Acts chapter 2, if you will, with Luke chapter 24. Jesus said, repentance and remission of sins shall be preached beginning at Jerusalem. Well, what did he preach? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And in Acts chapter 2, as we read, they had all things common. They sold their possessions and laid them at the apostles' feet. Now, if you're not going to practice all of those things, and there was the signs, by the way, the speaking in tongues, which were other languages, and the miracles and signs and wonders that accompanied the nation Israel, or associated with the nation Israel, were there in Acts chapter 2. Now, if you're not going to practice all of those things, why just pick and choose a few of them? It is better to rightly divide the word of truth and to understand that today salvation is not by repentance and water baptism. Today you are not required to lay your possessions at the apostles' feet because there aren't any. You are not involved in a period of time in which you have supernatural spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues. Those things went out when the nation Israel fell. All of those things are things today that God has replaced with His written word. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now I want you to notice in the time we have remaining how different what Paul has to say is. He says in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Well, that which Peter was preaching in Acts 2 and 3 certainly was not kept secret. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, David spoke on this wise, so forth and so on. In other words, it was not something that was kept secret. Paul said that that which he was preaching about Jesus Christ was according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Well, what was that he was preaching? He was preaching the ministry of reconciliation. He was preaching that we, as saved individuals, have been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, and that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. How simple that is. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We were enemies of God. We were apart from God. We were alienated from God because we were not associated or we were not allied with the nation Israel. It's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. But he says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, folks, the purpose of a preacher today, the purpose of a saved individual as an ambassador for Christ, is to declare Christ's message today for the church, the body of Christ, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's not to get people to bring what they have and lay it at your feet so that you can build big buildings and buy equipment and build gymnasiums and all that kind of stuff. The purpose today of a preacher, of a saved individual, is to make known the truth that God is not angry with you today. God is not mad at people. The world has been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ. And when Christ died on that cross, he reconciled us to God by his own death. And the good news today is not that you have to repent and be baptized, not that you have to join the church, not that you have to forsake what you have, not that you have to keep the commandments. The good news today is that because Christ died for you on Calvary and paid for all your sins, that you've already been reconciled to God. Your sin is not the issue today. Your sin has already been paid for. The issue today is that Jesus Christ died for you, and it's what you believe that's important. Folks, the church did not start in Acts chapter 2. The church, the body of Christ, started with the salvation of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, and he was given the dispensation of the grace of God and the gospel of the grace of God, whereby you can be saved today if you'll simply believe it and trust in him.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.